RNZ Pacific News, Harakata Wantok, me, Korai Hawkins. Kiribati is faced with immense pressure to deliver safe drinking water in the midst of a severe drought, and it's finding solutions through its own people. According to Child Fund Kiribati, the country has the highest infant mortality rate linked directly to unsafe drinking water. As the world marks World Water Day today, Lydia Lewis reports on the situation in Kiribati.
Child Fund Kiribati director and Kiribati resident David Kakiakia is from the northernmost island, Mankian, and he knows the challenges people face firsthand. He's been busy installing solar water distillation systems, solar water purifiers, and doing community outreach in an effort to save lives. He says he dreams of expanding support to outer islands because at the moment his team is only able to support residents on Kiribati's main island due to insufficient funds. Mr. Kakiakia says while his team does get funding from New Zealand's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, donations from the general public are greatly needed.
Transparency International in Papua New Guinea says it's confident the government is committed to ensuring the success of the soon-to-be-operational Independent Commission Against Corruption, or ICAC. After legislation was passed by the previous parliament, this week Prime Minister James Marape announced commissioners have now been selected and soon the organisation will be operationalised. The chairman of Transparency PNG, Peter Aitsi, says having an ICAC in place will play an important role in overcoming corruption. While it's been many years for the ICAC to be set up, Mr. Aitsi says they've been reassured by the government that the organisation will be properly funded.
They've been true to their word in terms of the commitment they've given ICAC. They've passed the legislation, they've supported the recruitment, and they've actually supported the independent process to go globally and locally to find very well qualified and capable and experienced commissioners.
The Papua New Guinea Foreign Minister, Justin Chichenko, says he will discuss West Papua with his Indonesian counterpart on an upcoming trip to Jakarta. PNG reports the minister saying the agenda will include discussions on Indonesian sovereignty and that country's handling of West Papuan issues and how this impacts on the indigenous population. Mr. Chichenko says PNG respects Indonesian sovereignty in Papua and it also respects the people of West Papua. Further beaches have been closed across New Caledonia. A 3-metre shark has been spotted in Kone and Northern Beach, which prompted authorities to close the beach until further notice. Two other beaches are closed until the 24th of March in the Bay of Mondor near Noumea. Swimming is still not allowed on the beaches of Ansevata and Citrus Bay around Noumea, where a shark attack occurred last month. However, kite surfers, windsurfers and paddleboarders are now authorised. Asiana Airlines has announced it will be relaunching direct flights from Seoul, South Korea, to the Northern Marianas next month. This comes less than 2 weeks after the South Korean carrier said it was ending that service. Asiana Airlines will operate 4 weekly flights from Incheon to Saipan beginning on the 27th of April. In anticipation of high travel demand during the summer, the flights will be operated daily from the 1st of July to the 27th of August. Visitor arrivals from South Korea for February were the highest since before the pandemic, reaching about 12,000 arrivals compared to 2,821 in February last year. Overall, visitor arrivals to the Marianas are 55% lower for the year to date compared to fiscal year 2019 before the pandemic. 6 new cases of leptospirosis have been reported in Vanuatu by the National Surveillance Unit since the 6th of March. This lifts the total cases this year to 26, as Christina Persico reports.
Leptospirosis is a bacterial disease with symptoms including high fever, headache, chills, muscle aches, vomiting, jaundice and abdominal pain. It is spread through the urine of infected animals which can contaminate water or moist soil. The Daily Post reports most of the cases are from Santo. The Ministry of Health says community awareness sessions are underway in an effort to stop further transmission. The ministry says early detection is key and proper clinical management of the infection is needed.
Meanwhile, there's been a recent surge of leptospirosis in Fiji in the provinces of Maduata and Mbua. The Ministry of Health and Medical Services said between the 1st of January and 26th of February, there were 171 cases within a span of 1 week from the 27th, and a further 50 cases were recorded. In New Zealand, an industry group for the oil, gas and hydrogen sector says the government should not put all its energy eggs in one basket. Energy Resources Aotearoa, in a report, says New Zealanders could pay an extra $7 billion New Zealand dollars on their power bills over 12 years if the government forces an early move away from natural gas. Chief Executive John Carnegie says shifting to so-called green gas will help meet the country's carbon reduction costs.
There's a sustained role for natural gas. It can be consistent with our net zero ambitions and be cheaper than the alternatives and reliable. And actually, that we should utilise carbon capture and keep the options open for green gas.
John Carnegie says natural gas storage will provide a fast response backup at a much lower cost for ratepayers. In world news, the NATO Secretary General is warning China must not supply Russia with lethal weapons for its use in the war against Ukraine. NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg spoke to reporters.
We haven't seen any proof that China is delivering lethal weapons to Russia. But we have seen some signs that this has been a request from Russia, and that this is an issue that is considered in Beijing or by the Chinese authorities. And therefore, our message has been that China should not provide lethal aid to Russia. That will be to support an illegal war.
Meanwhile, Russia is warning the UK not to supply the Ukraine with ammunition containing depleted uranium, saying Moscow will be forced to retaliate. In sport, giving players game time and the opportunity to experience top-level matches is the challenge for the Fiji Under-20 football squad preparing for the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Indonesia. Team manager Kartik Reddy says that was their biggest challenge at the moment. The team is currently participating in the Tri-Nations FIFA International Friendly Series against Solomon Islands, Vanuatu and the Fiji national side.
So the challenges, I would say, mainly would be this. Few boys in this environment have never played in an international environment, so that's one of the challenges, but we're trying to give them as much exposure, and I must be grateful to Fiji Football, and they've given us the platform, and it's for the boys and the team to perform when it's World Cup time.
The team will meet the Fiji national side in their next game of the friendly series tomorrow, Thursday in Ba, after they lost their opening game 4-1 to the Solomons on Monday night in Lautoka. The New Zealand runner Zane Robertson has been banned for 8 years for doping. Robertson, who was selected for the 2016 and 2020 Olympics and won a bronze medal in the 5,000 metres at the 2014 Commonwealth Games, tested positive for the blood booster EPO at a race in Britain last year. RNZ sports editor Stephen Hewson reports.
Zane Robertson and his twin brother Jake moved to Kenya when they were 17 and at times trained with the Kenyan national squad. Zane Robertson claimed he'd gone to a Kenyan medical facility seeking a COVID-19 vaccination, but was instead treated for COVID-19, which included the administration of EPO. The 33-year-old was also found guilty of providing false documentation in his defence. Robertson's the national record holder for the marathon and half marathon, and the ban is backdated to May last year.
That's news and sports from RNZ Pacific. There's more on our website, rnzi.com.